Recorded Books presents Red Side Story by Jasper Ford, narrated by Chris Harper and Jasper Ford. This production includes an exclusive bonus chapter at the end of the program.
Welcome to East Carmine.
1010108 in brackets 2. The name of the collective shall be Chromatacea. It shall be divided into four sectors, known as red, green, yellow, and blue. Each sector shall be subdivided further into areas known as north, south, east, and west. An administrative centre will be located in each sector and each area. For specific definitions, see subnote 10101020083 from Munsell's Book of Harmony.
My name is Eddie Russet, but only for another 2 hours and 9 minutes. After my negotiated marriage to Violet, I will take on the prestigiously dynastic surname of De Mauve. But within 27 hours, I find out that I was not Eddie Russet at all, but a subject termed HE315PJ7AM. 3 days after momentarily becoming Russet again, I reluctantly take on the name of Mr. Holleberry, before quickly reverting to De Mauve. But less than 48 hours after that, I decide to dispense with a colour-based name entirely. There is jeopardy, too. Jane and I almost catch the mildew. A group of yellows try to kill us, and the ever-present green room beckons us towards its soporifically deadly charms. We also meet a tin man, a riffraff, and have an encounter with an angel sent by our very own creator, who then tries to kill us 3 times. But it's not all bad. At least Jane and I get to figure out the riddle of existence. Not the riddle, I should add, just ours. And we also learn there is a literal truth to the adage that you can't go home. And that's a problem. We're free and healthy and ready to live full and complete lives together away from the colouritocracy for good. That should be a cause for celebration. But it isn't. We wanted to improve our world, not abandon it. You'll be joining us there shortly, looking around our new home, sharing in our wonder. But for now... The 1342 train pulled into the station with a punctuality that was within time parameters, but outside geographical ones. That is to say, the train was on time, but the station was in the wrong place. There were strict rules against non-punctuality, but nothing against the erroneous sighting of a station. Such loopholery allowed us to maintain adherence to the strict rules governing our society, but still maintain a workable practicality. The locomotive hissed in the warm air as the train rocked to a standstill, the gyros a soft, melodious whir as they kept the machine upright on its single rail. There were trains every other day, one in the morning, one in the afternoon, and their arrival was always an event. The quiet stasis of the village interrupted by arrivals, departures, post, news, freight, and supplies. The freight dispatcher moved to the far end of the platform to supervise the greys as they swapped raw materials for finished rolls of linoleum, while the postman took the sack of mail and quickly departed. True to form, the stationmaster argued in a half-hearted manner with the train driver about punctuality. I exchanged glances with the arrivals monitor, a dazzlingly unpleasant yellow named Bunty McMustard. She was a few years older than me, had a small nose much akin to a button of understated ordinariness, and insisted on wearing the standard casual girl's number 16, which was less of a dress and more of a bell tent. No one else wore one, not even ironically.
"None of your nonsense as we greet the visitors, Russet," she growled. "The council told me to report any infractions with extreme prejudice."
"You mean you get to exaggerate any potential misdemeanour?"
"In one. So watch it."
She meant it, too. Yellows took their enforcement duties as a square eel takes to split pins and washers. Anything I could be demerited for, she'd get a cut. A yellow who...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?